Our faith kids, you guys are invited to move with your leaders. Thank you, leaders, to learn about Jesus. They're learning about Jesus, the light of the world. And I want to invite you this morning to turn again to the gospel according to Luke. We're going to be looking at the end of Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 40. And not a very creative title this week. I just used last week's title, Jesus, Master and Commander. This is part two. Because Luke 8 is all about responding to the authority of Jesus. And Jesus proves himself to be the Master and Commander of all creation. Jesus is Lord over everything. And last time we saw Jesus in action as Master and Commander over the stormy dangers and over the dehumanizing demons. But Luke has more to show us so that we will follow Jesus, so that we will become more like Jesus, and so that we will live like Jesus wants, for our good and for his glory. We see this morning that Jesus is also Master and Commander over disease and even death. Luke 8, 40 to 56, really you could call it a tale of two distraught daughters. And daughter is actually Luke's description for the two women featured in this text. But the focus of the text is Jesus. And Jesus ministers as only he can to the 12-year-old only daughter of ruler Jairus on her deathbed and to an unnamed daughter in the crowd who for 12 years has been bleeding and suffering and spending all of her money without any hope of getting better. Two distraught daughters with distinct but overlapping stories centered on Jesus. In fact, this is the only intertwined account of healing miracles from Jesus in all of the Gospels. And I want to encourage you from this text that whatever worst case scenario confronts you, hope rests in the powerful authority of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to deliver. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And the setup here is Jesus returning from his deliverance ministry on the Gentile side of the lake of the Sea of Galilee. And he's coming back to the familiar Jewish crowd who is eagerly waiting for Jesus to return in hopes of, well, what do they hope for from Jesus? They're hoping for more miracles, I guess, more miraculous healings. But among the Capernaum side spectator crowd was one very desperate and distraught daddy. His name is Jairus. And Mr. Jairus was a very important person in the community. He is a ruler of the synagogue, perhaps even the lead of the synagogue council. And so everybody knows Jairus. And everybody knows why Jairus is begging Jesus for help. Everybody knows that Jairus has an only daughter, that she's been living for 12 beautiful years, but now she's dying. Luke chapter 8, look at with me from at beginning of verse 40. We read, "Now when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue. And falling at Jesus' feet, he implored him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. As Jesus went The people pressed around him. So first we see a desperate dad reaches for Jesus. Of course, watching your only daughter get closer and closer and closer to death's doorway is not a trial that any parent ever wants. If it's your dying child, wouldn't you do absolutely everything that you could do to help them? Of course you would. But who has the power to help in such a situation? Who has the power to rescue? Can I tell you that even if some people don't want to admit this, medical science is limited. Jesus is not limited. The master rabbi, Jesus, has, as we've seen in Luke, he's already revealed his power to even raise the dead to life. Remember that woman in the little town of Nain? And Jesus gave her son back alive to her. And Jairus here falls at Jesus' feet. He's the ruler of the synagogue, but he comes in deep humility with a desperate personal request, right? Jesus, please come to my house. Please help my daughter. Jesus, I implore you. Jesus, please save my little sunshine. Please don't let death take her away. When my only daughter, Catherine, was in the hospital on the brink of death, fighting COVID and sepsis, the worst case on the floor, the doctor said, we couldn't even go. We couldn't even go to the hospital. We didn't have any access to her. Even her husband, Matthew, down the hall, also very sick, didn't have access to her. We only had access to the Lord in prayer. And so we prayed. A man wrestling with the Lord over the life of his loved one is a man who knows his own powerlessness. And Jairus, I can tell you, is desperately looking to Jesus. And maybe you are hearing this today and you are among the ranks of parents or grandparents in every generation, desperately looking to Jesus on the behalf of your child, your grandchild, your loved one. Whatever worst case scenario confronts you, hope rests in the powerful authority of Jesus Christ. Jairus was begging Jesus to come and heal his only daughter before time ran out. When it comes to salvation, time is of the essence. There is a too late for salvation. And so Jairus is watching the clock and he's begging Jesus. And good news, now he has Jesus following him home. I imagine Jairus is thinking, you know, this is good. This is progress. I've heard what Jesus can do. But if you were Jairus in this scene, wouldn't you be like a little bit frustrated? A bit frustrated with the terrible traffic? You ever get frustrated at traffic? Yeah, well, what about when you're rushing because you're trying to get medical attention for your loved one? I'm thankful I didn't get pulled over in that moment. I'm thinking of an earlier case with Gavin when he was a baby coming from Jackson trying to get to the hospital. But I'm sure he's frustrated. Why are so many people pressing to get to Jesus, you know? Come on, people, come on, keep it moving here. What? Why is Jesus stopping? Verse 43. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus says, "Who was it that touched me?" And when all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowd surrounds you and are pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me." And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." And so here we see a chronic sufferer reaches for Jesus. Suddenly, as Jesus is going to Jairus, on the way to Jairus' house, Jesus stops to say to the people crowding around him, "Who touched me?" Can you picture that? "Hey, who touched me?" And nobody would say that they touched Jesus. And so Peter, very perplexed, blurts out, "Master, you're in the middle of a crowd." But Jesus identifies his specific focus. "Oh, somebody touch me, because I know that my power has gone out to somebody. Who is the somebody who touched me?" And Luke gives us the backstory to this somebody. The somebody is a woman. She is distraught. She is an unnamed daughter who has been suffering for 12 years from a discharge of blood, a hemorrhaging, a gynecological condition. She spent all her money on doctors in hope of healing, but nobody has been able to help her. Nobody can help her. And in addition to the physical trauma and the hopelessness and the financial desperation, she suffers relationally because her condition under the Mosaic law declares her unclean. So anybody or anything she touches is also polluted by her uncleanness. She's an outcast. She couldn't be a mommy for 12 years. Her life story, one day after another, has been a story of lonely misery. And so in desperation, she enters the crowd, I assume incognito, because she's unclean. She enters the crowd to get close to the Master Jesus. She comes up right behind Jesus, and she reaches out and touches just the tasseled fringe of his robe. And immediately, all of her desperation becomes this joyous delight. After 12 long years of suffering, her discharge of blood is perfectly and completely healed. Notice, when she reaches out and touches Jesus, she doesn't make Jesus unclean. Jesus makes her whole. But maybe, having experienced this miracle, maybe she can just joyfully kind of sneak back out of the crowd to her newly restored life. She seeks not to speak to Jesus, but to sneak away with her miracle from Jesus. But then suddenly she knows, hey, this is not how this is going to work. This is not how any of this works. She sees Jesus halting the crowd. She sees Jesus questioning the crowd. She realizes her story is not going to be a hidden story. Jesus is seeking her out. So she falls down trembling at Jesus' feet. She speaks the truth in front of everybody. This is her story of suffering and need. This is why she reached out in faith to touch Jesus. And this is how she, in that moment, was totally healed. Gloriously healed. But what will Jesus do now that she's made herself known to everybody and to Jesus? What will Jesus do with her confession? Her very public confession. Well, she has her answer from the very beginning, because the first word out of Jesus' mouth is, daughter. Daughter. This is the only time in the Gospels that Jesus addresses a woman with this affectionate term. Jesus is very compassionate, and he is very clear. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. See, it wasn't any kind of magic or superstition that healed her. It was her faith in Jesus. Jesus wants her to know the source of her healing. He wants her to know that all her sufficiency is in him. Jesus is the one who willed her healing with his miracle-working power and purity. And now healing faith in Jesus continues for her with the journey of the peace that only Jesus brings. Do you have that peace in your life? The peace that only Jesus brings? Because you know that he's the one that healed you, that's delivered you, that's saved you. This daughter's life will never be the same. And one day, when I get to see her and meet her, we'll be singing hallelujahs. And so will you, right? Do you know that? Are you looking for that day? At the feet of Jesus. And so whatever worst case scenario confronts you, hope rests in the powerful authority of Jesus Christ. Because when you reach for Jesus in faith, that's his grace at work. And he knows all about it. He knows and he delivers. Sometimes we tell jokes about with that Kevin Bacon, right? And 6 degrees of separation, right? Like, you know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody. Like, but the reality is our personal stories really are more interconnected and more overlapping than we know. We're more alike than we are different. And in this overlap, the time of healing for this daughter who reached out and touched Jesus in faith becomes, for the only daughter of Jairus, time running out. With a report from his household, this desperate father's countdown clock runs out. Verse 49, while he was still speaking, someone from the ruler's house came and said, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher anymore. But Jesus, on hearing this, answered him, do not fear. Only believe, and she will be well. Notice, the household reporter gives Jairus the fatal news about his daughter and also speaks his natural conclusion. Right? There's no point. Time of death has been called, right? She's dead. Literally, the text says, trouble the teacher no longer. But Jesus, hearing this fear-filled report, has a very, very different message for Jairus. Don't you fear. The only thing for you to do, Jairus, is believe. Believe me. Believe me, Jairus, and she will be well. Just like the woman from the crowd. Don't fear. only believe. And so Luke shows us that Jesus reaches out to bring the dead to life. Jesus reaches out to bring the dead to life, verse 51. And when he came to the house, he allowed no one to enter with him except Peter and John and James and the father and mother of the child. And all were weeping and mourning for her. But he said, "Do not weep, for she is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But taking her by the hand, he called, saying, "Child, arise." And her spirit returned, and she got up at once. And he directed that something should be given her to eat. And her parents were amazed. But he charged them to tell no one what had happened. Seeing this text again, do you agree with me that Jesus makes all the difference? Jesus makes all the difference. And Jairus keeps believing. Jesus says, "Only believe." And Jairus keeps believing, and he takes Jesus home. And Jesus enters with only the girl's parents and Peter and John and James as eyewitnesses. Nobody else allowed inside. And it doesn't really make a difference to those on the outside because they're all weeping, as is natural. They are mourning aloud for this girl because her life has been cut short at 12 years of age. But they know she's dead. And they're mocking, you know. Death becomes her. Jesus says she's not dead. You know, like, they're mocking Jesus for going inside and telling them, "Don't weep for her, for she's not dead. She's only sleeping." But you know who wasn't mocking? Jairus. He was following Jesus inside. All his hope is in Christ alone. And I hope that is true of you as well. I pray that this saving faith also resonates in your very soul. Because Jesus does what nobody else can do. And whatever worst case scenario confronts you, hope rests in the powerful authority of Jesus Christ. And the truth is, church, Jesus is always working out your best case scenario. Jesus is always working out your best case scenario. Jairus and his wife with those disciples looking to Jesus, and Jesus takes this daughter by her hand and just speaks the words, right? "Child, arise." What beautiful words. What powerful words. "Little one, you know, the grave has no hold on you. It's time to get up now." Though people outside knew she was dead, but those inside watched the dead girl restored to life. Because Jesus is master and commander of all diseases and even death. Disease and death do not get the last word, amen. Jesus does. He says in Revelation 1:18, "I have the keys of death and of Hades." So with Jesus, the right response is never. The right response is never, "Oh, don't trouble the teacher anymore." No, because nothing is too difficult for the Lord of heaven and earth. Jesus calls out, "Child, get up," and her spirit returns to her body. It's like he lays down the reverse card on death. And death has to follow the rules. Because Jesus makes the rules. And the daughter gets right up and Jesus says, I love this. Hey, could you get this girl a sandwich or something, right? Like, because she's no ghost. She's hungry. And Jairus and his wife are gloriously reunited with their daughter. They're amazed because of Jesus. But interestingly, the master commands them to tell nobody what happened. Tell what happened to no one at all. And why? I think it's because Jesus wants to prevent spreading the wrong idea about his person and work at this point of his ministry. Because he has more to do in his ministry as Messiah. And he doesn't want people getting the wrong idea about what he's about. Do you know that fake news is a huge problem? It's a huge problem. Sharing misleading information. In the words of the Mosaic Law, bearing false witness. The worst thing that you can do is to disparage the God who made you and who loves you. There's a lot of people living just like that, though. Disparaging the God who made them. The God who has proved his love and sacrifice. Where is God's Son Jesus in all of this? That is a question that we are tempted to ask, right? We are tempted to ask, where's God? When the sick people don't recover, and when your loved one dies, and you are left in sorrow too deep for words. But Jesus says, only believe. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the ending. Jesus is holy forever. He is Emmanuel, God with us. As we read from the 23rd Psalm earlier, Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He's the one guiding his flock all the way home. He is the love that will never let us go. He will never leave us or forsake us. And so Jesus is worthy of your exclusive faith. Only believe his word. And Jesus is worthy of your truth-telling witness. Because he brings the dead to life eternal. And if he's done that for you, his order to you is not, shh, don't tell anyone. His order to you is, tell everybody. Tell everybody. Just like he said to that man he healed from the demons, right? Go and tell everyone how much God has done for you. And when you or your loved ones and the rest of the planet experience the brokenness caused by our rebellion and sin, Jesus remains the ruler and the rescuer that we all need. And the message from Jesus is, don't fear. Reach out to him in faith and you will be well. Like, you will be well forever and ever. No disease, Not even death's dark shadow can separate us from the love of God revealed in Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful he doesn't leave his church family hanging. So keep trusting. And so we see here in Luke 8, Jesus, he's the master and commander over all the dangerous storms and all the demons and all the diseases and even death. And because Jesus is master and commander over everything, what we all need the most is ears to hear him clearly and to obey him confidently. Church, our Lord has spoken all that we need to hear right here in his word. He's enough. His word is sufficient. Our mission is just to speak the truth. Like this woman in the crowd, like speak the truth to everybody. I used to hear people say, tell the truth and shame the devil. So as you think on these things, friend, this morning, consider how Luke is showing us, well, that Jesus may seem to be unhelpful, when he really is the only one who can help. Jesus may seem to be unhelpful when he is really the only one who can help. Jesus publicly confronted this woman who touched him, but it was not about Jesus embarrassing her. That was not his agenda. He was about assuring her that she was healed and she could go in peace. Because the solution to life's storms is only faith in Jesus, who Jesus is and what Jesus will do. Jesus intentionally addressed this woman. He delayed his arrival time with Jairus to address Jairus' daughter by addressing this other daughter. And Jesus allowed Jairus to hear the fatal news that no parent wants to hear. But it wasn't because Jesus is about torturing Jairus. Jesus is assuring Jairus that he did not need to give way to his fears. Jairus only needed to believe that Jesus would do exactly what he said. He will do what only he can do. Only believe and she will be well, Jairus. Whatever worst case scenario confronts you, hope rests in the powerful authority of Jesus Christ. And if you are trusting, if you are believing, if you are resting in Jesus Christ, the truth is, he's always working out your best case scenario. Just as William Cooper wrote long ago in his hymn, God works in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. And I'm thinking specifically of that line that says, behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. Psalm 119:68 says of the Lord, you are good and you do good. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him. Nahum 1:7. He is working all things for the good of those who love him, right? Romans chapter 8. And so the believing heart can sing, oh, his eye is on the sparrow. And here's what I know. I know he's watching me. Yes, he cares. He's got it. Jesus may seem to be unhelpful when he really is the only one who can help. One more thing. Jesus will always lead us on the path that reveals more of his glory. Jairus goes to beg Jesus in humility because Jairus has faith that Jesus can do this thing. He can do what nobody else can do. But after Jesus stops, after Jairus is told that his daughter has died, Jesus calls Jairus to a deeper commitment of his faith in Jesus. A deeper commitment You trusted me with your most urgent matter. But now trust me in the face of what seems to be absolutely hopeless. Jesus does what only God can do, because Jesus is God's beloved Son. Do you believe him? The other daughter was also at her breaking point after 12 years. Nobody can help. Nobody can help me. And then suddenly she hears Jesus telling her she's all better because of him. Jesus will always lead us on the path that reveals to us more of his glory. And Jesus shows the faithful that he is always more glorious than we can imagine. So whatever worst case scenario confronts you, hope rests in the authority of Jesus Christ. It's his power. The battle belongs to him. And dear church, my beloved Faith Bible Church community, the truth is that Jesus is always working out. Right now, he is working out our best case scenario. We are his beloved forever. So don't fear. Only believe. It's one day after the next. It's one step after another in his peace. Amen. I want to invite you to stand together. As we close the service, I want to invite you to unite your hearts together as a community in this song, "For His Glory and My Good." And then, I just want to close the service in a little different way. We bring the reality of our lives. We may think it's a worst case scenario, right? But Jesus is working for a best case scenario. And so we're going to sing, and then I just want to invite whoever feels led, maybe just a few, just to call out to the Lord in prayer on behalf of what God wants for Faith Bible Church. Brother Mike, if you would close us, okay?
Can we share some scripture now?
What's that? All right, let's sing together, all right? For his glory, my good. Sing in faith.
For his glory, revealed in Jesus Christ, and the more that I behold him, the more he satisfies. When I gaze upon his beauty, when I see him as I should, then my eyes are lifted upward for his glory and my good. There is hope in every trial, for I can trust the Lord. He will turn my heart towards him and help me bear the thorn. So in faith I follow Jesus on the road not understood. For I know that he is working for his glory and my good. To our God be the glory, to our God be praise, he alone the name above all names. I will boast ever only in the Lord my God, for I know His glory is my good. The open arms of Jesus upon the cross that day, what they understood as weakness deserves my every praise. For the charge that was against me, it was nailed into the wood. Yes, I know that He has saved me for His glory and my good. Give the glory to our God, be praised, He alone, the name above all names. I will trust ever only in the Lord my God, for I know His glory is my good. Would I gladly be made nothing, that Christ would be made more? Would I seek the only kingdom, that far outweighs them all? I will stand before my Father, where the faithful saints have stood, and with joy my heart shall praise Him for His glory and my good. And with joy my heart shall praise Him for His glory and my good. To our God be the glory, to our God be praise, He alone, the name above all names. I will trust ever only in the Lord my God, for I know His glory is my good. To our God be the glory, to our God be praise, He alone, the name above all names. I will boast ever only in the Lord my God, for I know His glory is my good. Yes, I know His glory is my good. Amen and amen.